You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 58 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, but you already knew that. And as always, I am with the very diligent Jeff Gargas.
Diligent. How are you doing, Jeff? I'm feeling very diligent. I'm curious. Like, you're always like, I'm Ray Hewart, but you already knew that because I'm big and famous. And oh, here's Jeff. Is that how it is? Is that what it is? Like, everybody.
No,
like,
let's.
It's like,
clarify.
Hey, let's listen to Teach Better Talk with Ray Hewart. And what's the guy? The diligent guy? Like, what's his name?
No, they know that you're with me, but they are sending me in words to describe you. And really, while they're listening to the episode number and the fact that they're being reminded that they're listening to Teach Better Talk, they really just want to know what word I'm going to use to describe you today.
So where did diligent come from?
Diligent came from a Twitter message that was sent to me from somebody who I don't have the name up. Ugh. Well, I always love when people message me. Now I owe them a shout out.
We do owe a shout out. You know what we should start doing, Ray? We should start shouting out some Twitter users.
Ooh, we totally
Instagram
should.
Users. We should. Do you have any in mind right now? Can we do a shout out right now? And then if you're listening and you want us to give a shout out, like tweet at us or hit us up on Instagram. It's at Ray Hewart on both things. I'm at Jeff Gargas or underscore at Jeff Gargas at underscore Jeff Gargas on Instagram. Hit us up and let's shout out. We want to give like more. I just feel like maybe that's a way we can give just more love to some of these awesome teachers that are out there listening and engaging with us in different ways and stuff. I don't know.
So I have one right here. I want to give a shout out to Jeffrey Austin at Mr. Austin A2. This is an incredible teacher I've had the opportunity to actually talk with on the phone every so often. And he's an English high school teacher, and he is hosting, or I guess when this will publish, hosted Mastery Chat.
Yeah, exactly.
But he is not just somebody I've connected with on Twitter, but somebody that I've actually written a few blogs with and just inspired with. So Jeffrey's an amazing educator. Definitely go follow him over on Twitter.
Good start. Like, he's actually blogged for us over at teachbetter.com as well, which is great. So
he's just a passionate guy and wants to do well. Mm-hmm. We had a funny conversation once driving to Chicago that I won't go into too detailed, but I'll just tell you, we were talking about how to reach people that are resistant to growth, and it inspired one of my favorite blogs on teachbetter.com, which is how to reach the okay maybe zone.
Ooh,
I'll just always
post.
Thank Jeff for that conversation we had.
Well, you're welcome.
Not you.
Ah, boy, I'm just hitting them tonight,
there's
aren't I?
There's so many Jeffs in the world. Get rid of them.
Yeah, there's only one truly diligent one though.
Diligent.
He's on this side of the microphone. No, so speaking of awesome teachers, so I want to touch on something. I know you're in our.
That's so sweet.
I know you're in our private Facebook group, Ray. If you're listening, you're not in our private Facebook group. You need to go over to Facebook, search Teach Better Team, and our page will come up, which would be great if you give that a like. But then make sure you hit join to get into the Facebook group, because there's some amazing conversations and collaboration going on over there. But there was a post somewhat recently that caught my eye, and I just wanted to like throw something at you, Ray, about it. So this was a post from Don Wood, which there's another shout out. Don's amazing. But she was asking about she had finished up a unit on the grid method, actually. But her question was about surveying her students, and she asked about, like, you know, what do you guys use? What tools do you use? And there's a lot of tools thrown out and ideas and ways in which they ask and the questions they ask and stuff that are on there. So if you go in a group, you'll see all that. But so when you do that, Ray, like, I know you do a good job of this. I want to ask you, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. But, like, so what do you focus on when you're doing that? If I'm surveying my students, if I'm trying to get that feedback, like, what's the purpose behind that? What should I be doing with that information I'm gathering? What kind of information should I be getting from them?
You know, a teacher's approach to trying to survey their students to gather information is, I would assume, for the opportunity to reflect on how effective your teaching style is and what you can do better, should be approached the same way we would approach any formative assessment, right? That goes back to, and we do a lot of training on this, Jeff, but those mastery questions. What questions do I need to ask to really get the type of data I need. And I don't mean to direct it all to the data, but the fact is that if you're going to take the time to give a formative assessment, if you're going to take the time to collect data, it better be the data that you're looking for so you can actually do something with it, right? My worst thing that I talk to teachers about is you give an assessment with 20 questions on it, but you realize that you probably only needed 5 and to really gather the data you needed of if they've mastered the standard or not. And that concept is a direct correlation to what we're talking about now is getting data on your practice, hearing from your students. And we've talked about student voice before, but it's important because if you're using these best practice techniques, but you're not reaching your students the way that they need, then it doesn't matter what technique you're working with. It really matters at how then it's affecting your students and therefore, you know, having a step in their success. So I survey my students about every 6 weeks, and I actually do survey my parents probably just as frequently, maybe a little less. And the whole concept is just to not only make them feel heard, but also gather information on, you know, small topics. Sometimes I ask them different questions. You know, my initial question could be, you know, how do you like my teaching style? Am I communicating with you enough? Do you feel like you know what's going on in my classroom? Are you utilizing a tech tool that I've encouraged you to utilize? Do you like me emailing you, or do you like when I send you video emails, which is, you know, answering your question? Well, I've recorded a video so you can see my face and my tone, you know, really targeting your questions to gather the data you need, because you don't just need to ask once, right? You can survey your students multiple times. And then you can put a focus on, you know, what am I actually looking for? Am I wondering if I'm just trying to get an ego boost, do they think I'm cool? Or am I asking a really direct question? Like, is my communication style working for you? And if it's not, you know, what else can I do to make it more effective? I think that would be so valuable if our teachers asked our students more often, not just about their learning, but about other components of the classroom as well. What's the most frustrating thing that happens throughout your day that I can help fix?
I love that you also do that to your parents. I think that's important too, and doesn't happen enough as a parent, I'll tell you that. That I think it could be, is really a crucial piece of it. It could be really, really valuable there. So do you have, last question on this, and then we're going to move into the episode, but do you have like a go-to number of questions that you like to keep it under when you're doing that? Is there like a sweet spot of like, hey, if you ask more than 5, that it's just... you're annoying them? Do I almost just try and focus on those 1, 2, or 3 things I really want to know, or does it not matter?
You know, I wish I had some like statistical research on this. I absolutely don't.
I'm really just asking you personally. Like, I don't need data.
You know, I get like surveys all the time for people to gather data that are these listservs I'm on, and I hate long surveys. I don't have the time for that, and our parents don't, our students don't, especially if you're doing it in class. It's taking away from class time. Mm-hmm. So for me, I keep it to like 3 to 5, maybe not 5, you know, 3 to 5 questions. And some of them, you know, start with a goofy one. You know, what's your most memorable moment from March? You know, tell me something about you. What data can I gather to actually learn about you? And then what data am I really looking for? And then always provide the last comment or the last question as a comment box. What do you have anything that they want to communicate with you? That way you're catching the students or the parents that have been meaning to reach out to you, have been meaning to grab you and just haven't gotten you know, it's kind of like 2 birds, 1 stone.
Love it. Good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Let's talk about the episode. So
this was a fun episode.
We have Chris Chapaton on, and he's a principal down at Steam Middle School in Texas, right around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And man, just super, super fun guy. Very, very passionate. He describes himself as a high energy person who tries to pour that energy into other people. And man, you could just kind of feel it when he talked. And the type of culture that he's trying to build down there, I thought was really cool. I enjoyed his story. I'm going to try to say it without giving it away, but sort of how he looped back around to the school he's in. I'll leave it at that. Kind of a cool story there. And I really love, he tells a cool story about his transition and from being a teacher into the assistant principal role, which is his first admin, position there. But man, you and I were just talking before we started recording about his passion and how much fun he was. Is there anything like specific from the episode that really popped out that you're really excited for people to listen to?
You know, I mentioned it in the episode, but one of my favorite elements of his stories is his vision. He really mm-hmm. doesn't just have a mission in terms of reaching students and supporting teachers, but really trying to build something. He knows where he's headed. And I think that if administrators, but also if teachers had that mentality of like, I know where we're going and we're just going to keep like, you know, the only way to get there is to hold hands and walk together, you know, and I think that that mentality was carried more successfully throughout districts and buildings and classrooms. That vision's important. That's good stuff.
I agree. The vision, he does a really cool, his failure story I thought was awesome, really hit me.
Yeah.
And then there's a piece of advice that he talks about and he shares with, and I'm just going to say it as he start with the positive, but you got to listen to how he ties that in, I think is awesome. And there is a quote that he uses that you and I both like stopped for. And it's something that he's going to tell you to schedule time to do. And I just thought it was awesome. So he was so good that his answer to the fifth question of our six quick questions took us way off track because it was awesome. So I'm really excited for everyone to listen to this episode. It's a really great one. So without any further ado, let's get into episode 59 with Chris Chapiton. All right, we are here talking with Chris Chapiton. Did I say it right, Chris?
You did. Great job.
I worked with you on it to get it right, and I just like had this feeling that I was going to say it wrong now that we were actually recording. But so I'm already considering this episode successful, so we can all go home. Awesome. No, but really excited to have you on, man. Coming in, and you've been a participant in MasterChef. We connected on Twitter a while back, and we've had a conversation. We had to figure out the dates and get everything lined up. So really excited to have you on, man. How are you feeling right now?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just appreciate the opportunity to be on tonight.
Well, Chris, we're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff, but I want to start by flipping it to you and asking you a little bit more about how you describe yourself and your role in education.
Oh, wow. I describe myself as a person of high energy and just seeking to pour into others and just to help be of service to grow others and to participate in a community that's about growing kids. So, you know, a lot of my work is focused on walking alongside the other adults in the building so that we all grow as learners and as servants, and then turning that towards our kids to help them reach beyond what they believe to be possible.
Awesome. I love that answer. I love the servant piece of just and you mentioned about being the energy and pouring that into others. And I love that. That's such an important piece of being a leader in education right now. So a lot of experience under your belt, and now, you know, in administration and different positions in the education world. So a lot of, I'm certain, up and downs and ins and outs and spin you around type experiences. So we like to talk a lot on this podcast about failure and how we've learned from them and what we can take away from those experiences. So can you take us to a time in your life that you've had a failure? Tell us what it is that happened. Why was it a failure to you? How did you overcome that? And then what did you take away from that?
Yeah, as I look back, something that really stands out to me is the transition from teacher to administrator. I had the amazing opportunity to be a part of starting a brand new school. And part of that amazing opportunity is that now I've been able to go back and serve as principal. But my initial transition in 2015 from teacher to assistant principal, you know, at that point in my career as a teacher, you know, I was growing, I was learning, I was a part of a great team, and felt a sense of competency and confidence in my job, in my role. And as I transitioned into AP, I didn't know what I didn't know. And not only am I a part of starting a brand new school, but I'm also in a brand new role and trying to figure all of that out at the same time. And so my confidence and my competence quickly switched. And, you know, being tied to an identity where I was finding success and finding growth, you know, all of that changed in a lot of ways. It felt like overnight. And so that entire first year as an AP was taking, you know, step after step, day after day of growing back into some competence and some confidence. And that was tough. You know, there was a lot of experiences where I learned what not to do, a lot of decisions and choices that I wish I could go back and change. But you know, also looking back on that as opportunities for growth and contributing to the person that I'm becoming today. But I would say that the key word of that entire year was one of identity. And so I really had to wrestle with, who am I when I don't feel confident and competent in what I'm doing? And how can I continue to move forward, even though my identity feels shaky in that the course of that year? And, you know, I'm just thankful for leaders who believed in me, who poured in me, who kept challenging me, and who were in a lot of ways growth mindset for me during that year in order to overcome and learn from that challenging year.
Oh, man, so much in there. I love that your use of the words learn an opportunity of learning when you grow, and that how it developed you into who you are. And your touch on the identity and how do I view myself? I can't remember how exactly you said it. You said better than I'm about to, but how do I view myself when my identity doesn't feel like it's not as strong, when I'm shaken, when I don't feel as confident? And that just hits me, boom, right in the heart, because I remember I tell the story a lot about just a bit major failure that I had in a past life where I just like lost my identity. And I literally asked my wife, and she asked me what was wrong one day. And I said, if I'm not, it's a long story, but at Jeff TF, because I had a record label called FTF Records, and everybody called me Jeff TF. And I said, if I'm not Jeff TF, who am I? Like, who am I? Like, I didn't even know who I was. And she, of course, made me feel better because she's awesome. But like, that can be such a tough moment when you know, and it doesn't even have to be a major failure, any kind of failure, when you kind of lose it and you're like, man, like, I thought I was good at that, or I thought I had that down and I didn't. So like, who am I? What am I doing? Maybe I'm not a good teacher. Maybe I'm not a good leader. But to be able to get through that is so crucial, and then be able to look back. And I love that you touched on the fact that you had leaders that could help you get through that. So really appreciate you sharing that story with us.
Well, yeah, no problem. I mean, I don't get the AP job if I'm not a decent and effective teacher. And mm-hmm. So, you know, here I've gone from feeling good about what I do and about my performance to now feeling very shaky as I'm plowing new ground and trying to take new territory. And so, you know, really helped now being in a position where I can, you know, I can hopefully have influence on others and be a leader to others. I'm always cognizant of that identity piece, because we typically go to productivity or we go to performance and try to tune people up there. And that's important. But if we don't feel a sense of confidence and competence in who we are, then, you know, I think we're kind of spinning our wheels.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's such an awesome viewpoint for you to have as a leader now, to understand where others are in those moments, to be able to like, as you said, pour into them and help them get through that stuff. So that's awesome. So let's flip it around now. Let's talk about a success that you've had. And this can be something big, something small. But tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what'd you take away from that?
I feel a lot of humility and a lot of excitement when I think about the opportunity I'm living out right now, which is going back to the school that I helped start. So I was AP at Steam Middle School in Burleson, new STEAM-oriented, 21st century-oriented campus. Was able to serve there from 2015 through 2017, the July of 2017. Then I went to a local high school, and in January of 2018, got to come back as principal. And so, you know, it's just, I describe it as going back to an expansion team and kind of helping move it along to its next steps, or for whatever reason, being away from a small child for a period of time. And then, you know, you get to come back and you're like, wow, you were crawling when I left, and now you're standing up on the coffee table, or you're taking your first few steps. And so it's been exciting to return and to see the fruit of the labor of the people there, and to see how, you know, the campus is transitioning from startup phases to some sustaining success phases, and looking into, you know, the possibility of 3 to 5 years down the road, where do we want to be? You know, now that we're standing up, you know, leaning against the coffee table or taking those first few steps, how do we want to continue to take the next steps of our campus vision, ultimately to see our teachers grow and in turn see our students achieve? So that's what's exciting me right now.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jeff. We're going to get right back to the episode, but I want to make sure if you haven't submitted your proposal for Teach Better Conference in November, you need to do that right now. Head over to teachbetterconference.com. Get your proposal in. We will see you on November 8th and 9th. Now let's get back to the episode.
You know, Chris, I know that you've listened to a few different episodes on our podcast, but for our listeners that have been listening to, you know, the past 5-4, you know, episodes, we've had a lot of administrators on. And I wish that we could say it was, you know, intentionally, we had some secret mission, Jeff and I, but really it's been a lot of how our scheduling fell. You know, we reach out to educators and we purposefully phrase, you know, Teach Better Talk as supporting educators, because whether you're a first year classroom teacher or a veteran teacher or a first year principal or a veteran principal or a superintendent or the director of curriculum instruction, I mean, whatever role you play in education in any form is what we love to celebrate here. And there's been some consistencies with the administrators that we've had, but something I've really enjoyed listening to your story is this idea of vision, you know, this idea of what is in our future, what's on the horizon, and what can we continue to work towards with that. And that gets me excited as I continue to learn from educators, all different types of educators, but specifically you, since we've been connected on Twitter for a while, is how exciting is it to have these forward-thinking educators in leadership roles that have really amazing power to really construct a vision that's best for our students. And that's amazing. So when it comes to then turning it around and asking you what you're excited about these days in education, I know you kind of alluded to it in your last answer, but would you mind expanding on what is keeping you excited and what's, you know, fueling your fire?
Yeah, so here's what we're about at STEAM. Our vision for this year has been creating engaging learning, which, you know, can be kind of a catchy phrase, but we break it down into three components. The creating component is our campus-wide focus on standards alignment, and that's specifically through standards-aligned rubrics. So I'm excited about teachers who are learning to truly be curriculum designers because they're looking at the learning standard. And not only are they breaking it down into its components and learning its various components and how to develop kids towards mastery in those components, but they're also looking at the verb and working through processes of differentiating the verb across four levels to really provide a experience for kids rich in leveled learning standards. Then there's the engaging part of it, which is our campus emphasis on student autonomy. So utilizing our relationship with a company called Engage to Learn and the best practice and life ready skill rubrics that they create, this emphasis on student autonomy is also a leveled rubric experience where teachers and kids can track their growth and their expressions of autonomy. And then finally, there's the learning part, right? Like, how do we know this is even having an impact and that kids are learning? And so what I've chosen to do is take an organic approach to assessment calibration, kind of in conjunction with the standards aligned rubrics and the student autonomy pieces, but organically as it makes sense to teachers because they have the context and the experience to reflect back upon. Then we have conversations about assessment calibration, about leveled assessments, and about tracking our students' performance on those assessments with leveled questions. So really trying to take an approach where once their experience begins to outweigh their knowledge, now we're gonna provide more knowledge and then give them space to experiment and grow their experience. So creating engaging learning is really what has me excited in terms of the vision of this campus. And now as we look to 2019-2020, what we're discovering is that as we provide the standards-rich environment along with the student autonomy growth, we're moving from engagement to empowerment. And so the 2.0, if you will, of the vision becomes creating empowering learning. But again, not just, you know, a fancy, catchy slogan, but the standards alignment piece and then the student autonomy piece that flows into assessment calibration. So what I've told my teachers is I'm giving you really two targets instead of 20 that sometimes we end up with. You just shoot at these two targets. If we get to the third one organically, it will make sense and it won't feel as much like another weight that you have to carry. But you design and provide rich experiences for kids in these two areas. And that's where we're going to hang our hat. So creating engaging learning to creating empowering learning. And next year, along with that, I really want to partner with Engage to look 3 to 5 years down the road. What does a long-term sustainable campus vision look like in practice so that our instructional dynamics develop some deep roots? Not only do I want to give them just a couple targets to shoot at, but I want to deepen our roots so that, you know, we're not constantly kind of changing the game or flipping the script on teachers or students. We can actually have some time to get some depth into our instructional best practices.
Well, Chris, geez, you just touched on a ton of other best practices that I know that teachers listening are writing down, or they've heard these terms, you know, a lot of the elements about mastery and really supporting the students to get them what they need when they need it. And also this focus on not just motivating them, but really empowering them is a huge focus I know on our team. So I love that those two pillars is really something that you're not only working on with your teachers, but providing them the support to be able to master those skills in their classroom. So what advice do those teachers need? What types of advice would you give a new teacher or even a teacher in the field that is hungry to look towards that type of classroom and really wanting that future for their students?
Find a trusted, relationship valuing, high performing teacher and apprentice from and with them.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite elements of talking about a mentor is that anybody can be a mentor. You just have to find them, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the beauties of what we're trying to build at STEAM is that our campus leadership team is so strong. And so, you know, these are folks that I'm challenging to lead the folks on their teams. And a lot of that is, you know, be the person that you want your teammates to become, as admin, as we're trying to be the people that, you know, we want our campus leadership team to become. And if we all have that forward thinking, pouring into others, growing others, you know, mindset and practice, then we all benefit because the community comes together with its gifts and we all, you know, we all shine with what we have to offer.
I love your outlook on things and just the way that it's that forward thinking of pouring yourself into others and focusing on the growth and the full vision of your campus there and your leadership team all the way down to your teachers and stuff. I want to ask some, you know, we do a lot of, and Ray mentioned that we've had a couple admins on recently, but we do, you know, a lot of our episodes are with teachers. And so anytime we get an admin on, I'd like to, and I don't think I've asked one of our principals recently about this, but I want to ask you, because we work with a lot of districts around the country and a lot of different schools. And so we get to work a lot with teachers, but we also work with the admin team. So we kind of get to see a lot of both sides. I think we're pretty good at building relationships. So a lot of times we get to hear a lot of things from both sides. And sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we found there are sort of these gaps because there's so many things that are different in those roles that can kind of separate the two. So I always like to ask, from an admin's perspective, what's something that you wish, if you could say something right now to every teacher out there that you need them to understand about someone who's in your position in that leadership role, in that admin role, what's something that teachers just need to understand about admins and what you're trying to do?
You know, something that I learned from a mentor and trusted friend is the power of positive presuppositions. And so my off the cuff, you know, in the moment answer from teacher to admin and from admin to teacher is that relationally, you know, let us start with positive presuppositions for each other. You know, we got into this profession to help kids ultimately. And to serve children and to help them achieve things they, you know, may not believe are possible. And so if we can start assuming that positive intent of each other, then we can find common ground to move forward.
I love it. That was perfect. This is exactly what I was looking for. So that was great. All right, so now let's have a little bit of fun. So we're gonna do the next 6 questions and we're gonna do them in 15 seconds or less. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, man. What is one EdTech tool you cannot live without?
Twitter.
I saw that coming. Give us maybe,
I'll do Voxer a close second.
Voxer, yeah, I like it. That's good. Give us a book that you're reading right now.
All right, I'm reading a book called A Leader's Guide to Excellence in Every Classroom by John Wink. He's just breaking down how to inspire leadership in educators. It's fantastic.
And speaking of Twitter, who do we need to follow on Twitter right now?
You need to follow Shannon Burke with Engage to Learn. You need to follow Brandon Johnson, who's a fellow administrator. Those would be two great places to start.
All right. And give us the best YouTube channel for educators.
Golly. You know what? I'm not really a big YouTube.
All right. Give us a website person. Or a resource site that you go to.
I tell you what I go to YouTube for is like productivity apps and ed tech like tips. So we're like right now I'm more into things than I am into channels. So like right now I'm learning a lot about Notion, which is kind of a do it all app. So it's more based on my searches than it is the channels that I follow.
I like that though. That works perfect. Good answer still. Give us a daily, weekly or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Wow. I could tell you the daily, weekly, monthly routines that I say I should get into, but with my actions, still trying to take time to exercise.
You can give us those and then we'll play this back for you. And maybe it'll work that time.
Man, daily, weekly, or monthly routine. You know, I'm learning this from some others on my team, and that is like schedule time to be thankful. One of the things that our campus does a really good job at is sending positive emails to students. And so whether you're admin, you know, sending positivity to your teachers, teachers to students, whatever, like get into a routine of kindness.
Get into a routine of kindness. Holy moly. Yeah. Love that.
That's fantastic. I feel like
he just made that up on the spot too.
Well, so here's the deal. We track the positive emails that teachers send to students, and teachers set goals themselves. So like in the fall, their goal as a campus, and I've got a staff of like 31. So their goal as a campus was 500 positive emails to kids. They sent 529. Nice. So at Christmas, they re-upped and they said, all right, we're going to do 500 more in the spring. And I said to myself, like, you're helping to facilitate this growth in kindness, but how many emails are you sending, dude? And so like I had to kind of step into, hey, like, how can I expect them to do this? And I'm looking and I've sent zero. So I've had to make it routine that, you know, not only when I go to classrooms for observational purposes, I'm also looking at, okay, which kids in this class can I send positive emails to, if not the whole class, to be a part of accomplishing the mission myself.
Nice. That's an awesome mission. So how are you, just from a technical standpoint, how are you tracking those? Like, what's the method for tracking them?
Well, we do it through Google Forms. Okay. So we've got a created form, you know, part of it's just trying to make it easy for the teacher. So
yeah.
The teacher can go to a spreadsheet, look up the student ID, pop it into the form, click a couple buttons and click send. And then for positive ones, we also have, I forgot to mention, just a little part where they can type in, you know, a personal message, and then they click send and it goes to the parent, it goes to the student, it goes to admin, and it goes to them.
That's cool. I like it.
Chris, you shared so many tidbits in this episode. I want to make sure that everybody here can connect with you.
We missed the piece, Ray. I missed the question.
You didn't finish a question with him?
His routine thing got a little past 15 seconds.
Hey, I'm thinking in my head, like, best piece of advice I've ever received?
Yeah, but...
Oh, man.
So like, I want to touch on, so, like...
What?
Our 15-second answer to the routine went way off, but, man, like, it's ridiculously valuable. So, like, I'm okay with that. But, yeah, so the final question is Chris, is what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Okay.
Other than get a routine of kindness, which I think is pretty awesome advice.
Chris, my question was going to be easier, just so you know.
Well, I'm not saying this because I'm good at it at all. But, you know, you're talking about advice, like consider others better than yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, you know, working that out and living that out is a daily challenge. But I would say that's the best advice I've ever gotten.
I love that. Yep. You is greater than me. Awesome. All right, Ray, you can go with your easy question now.
Are you sure? Do you have anything else? Jeff? You want to jump in?
Chris here? Just seems like the kind of guy who can handle the challenge. I don't know why I could be throwing these softballs at him, but you know, I like to step it up a little bit here. Like, one of us has to do it right. she's going to fight me after this, Chris. Just so you're aware.
So like, I might just step off to the side. And
you
like,
may have to finish this up. Be glad this is virtual because it's about to get bloody. She's going to beat me up later. Go ahead, Ray. We're all listening, waiting for you.
He makes me out to be this awful person. Even at the end of some of the episodes, he says that I'm like watching the listeners to subscribe. Like, you know that I'm not that mean. You know that I won't.
But you know that you creep around to all of our listeners' houses and look in. Like, it's just weird, Ray.
Who has time for that, Jeff? Who has time for that?
I'm going to cut that part out. I don't want to get you in trouble. So Chris is like sitting there going, wow, did I really just do this for like 30 minutes with these two
people? You don't have to creep. Like, next time y'all are in DFW, let's go catch a bite.
Heck yeah. Like, next time I'm going to come in. Yeah, we're going to get some barbecue.
Sounds good.
Chris, regardless of the shenanigans that Jeff Gargis is trying to facilitate in this podcast episode, I do want to make sure, regardless of all of your questions and answers, that our listeners can connect with you and continue the conversation. So, what is the way that you prefer?
Okay, so primary way would be Twitter, at Chris_Chapotin, Chappotin. And I'd also say Instagram at the same handle, at Chris_Chapotin.
And you know, you can find all the links and everything we talked about in tonight's episode over at teachbetter.com, including the links. Make sure you get the connected to Chris over on Twitter and on Instagram and continue that conversation with him. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all the information and the show notes. Be sure to hit subscribe. If I could speak tonight, that'd be great. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And please, please give us a rating and review. We really appreciate that. We want to know what you're thinking. And do me a big favor. Make sure you tweet or at Ray Hewitt or hit her up on Instagram and share with her. She's always looking for these words to describe me at the beginning of the podcast. And I'm afraid she's running out and it's just going to get bad. So, like, she wants to help. I want to know what you guys are thinking. We've had some really cool ones sent in, so that would be really, really cool. Appreciate that a whole lot. Chris, man, thank you so much for coming on and not only just sharing your thoughts, your experiences, but having some fun with us, laughing with us, getting us way off track with such an awesome answer to the fifth of the six quick ones. Really appreciate it, man. Really appreciate the stories, how transparent you were with us and everything. So, man, just appreciate you.
No, not a problem at all. Again, thanks. Thankful for the opportunity and chance to hang out with y'all.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.